The holidays are just around the corner, and as we turn up the heat and the to-do lists grow longer, we recommend reading. Allison Law is host of Literary Atlanta podcast. Here are some of her recommendations for our Southern Reading List. That's our series with authors and readers sharing books that define and reflect the South.
Hi, I'm Allison Law, and I host a weekly podcast called Literary Atlanta. For my list of four Southern books, I've selected four novels that have come out in the past 10 years that you may have missed. My favorites often can't be found on the bestseller list. Don't get me wrong, I love a great summer romance or a fast-paced, blood-drenched thriller, and I'm forever indebted to the classics of Southern literature that I grew up reading and studying, such as To Kill a Mockingbird or A Member of the Wedding by Carson McCullers. But I gravitate toward the quieter books that make me think, and to those books that have rich characters who still are speaking to me these days, weeks, and years after I've turned the final page. Which is somewhat ironic, given that the main character in the first book I've chosen is mute. The Silence of Bonaventure Arrow by Rita Lagansky is set in 1950s Louisiana in the fictional parish of Bayou Cymbeline outside of New Orleans. When Bonaventure is born, he does not cry out like typical babies. He grows up making very little noise at all. What only you as the reader know is that while Bonaventure does not speak, he has exceptional powers of hearing that transcend what is happening around him to the past, to the future, to the inner emotions of the people around him. Like his mother, Dancy, who fears that her grief over the sudden shocking death of Bonaventure's father is hurting her son's development. Bonaventure Arrow could hear conjured charms and sanctified spirits deep in the marrow of New Orleans. He could hear the movements of voodoo queens and the prayers of long-dead saints. He could hear the past and the present. But even had she known all that, Dancy would not have imagined that such hearing was only a bellwether of what was to come. She could not understand that Bonaventure's muteness was not a handicap at all, but a gift. An extraordinary, inexplicable, immeasurable gift that allowed him to hear what no one else could. So it's in Bonaventure's silence that everything happens in this book. He's connected to a woman, a kindred spirit, kind of a voodoo woman named Trinidad Prefontaine, and even to the person who you only know in the book as the Wanderer. This is the person who reveals himself to us as the person who killed Bonaventure's father before he was born. So it's really an interesting and beautiful book. For my second Southern book selection, I have another book that takes place in Louisiana, but it's more contemporary. This is My Sunshine Away by M.O. Walsh. This time we're in Baton Rouge in a suburb, and we start out in 1989. At the very open of the book, we learn that Lindy, one of the teenagers growing up in the neighborhood, has been violently assaulted by someone, an unknown man or a boy who lay in wait for her. And we discover pretty quickly that the narrator of the book is one of four people suspected of the crime and spend the rest of the book trying to understand who this person is and whether or not he's responsible for hurting this girl and interrupting the peace of this Baton Rouge suburb. I think part of the reason that My Sunshine Away resonated so deeply with me is that Walsh shares stories and details of this time. The narrator and Lindy would have been my contemporaries in high school. The things they discuss and the news stories and the gossip they share are things I would have spent hours on the phone talking about with my friends. And there's always this thriving, humming, did he or didn't he element that keeps you turning the pages. The third book, Wilton Barnhart's Look Away, Look Away, is Southern satire at its finest. He based the sometimes over-the-top and always razor-sharp-witted members of the Johnston family of Charlotte, North Carolina, on the alumni and donors that he encountered over the years in his role as the director of a writing program at North Carolina State University. Wilton Barnhart often had to spend time navigating the hierarchies and family histories during polite conversation at the school's fundraisers and dinners. You'll find yourself laughing at the dialogue and the situations that these characters get themselves into, just to give you a little flavor of the wonderful dialogue that you'll find in Look Away, Look Away. Sunday was a weekly battle that Annie relished. She not only wanted to skip church, she wanted to elucidate other family members in the folly of their going. While others arrived at the breakfast table dressed for service, Annie would waltz down late, waving around a Blockbuster video bag. While you're listening to the shaman drone on and on, I'll be here enjoying the Sunday paper, my orange juice, and a Preston Sturgis comedy. This would goes on to, there's a back and forth between the parents and the kids and the other kids, Annie's brother and sister, like, why does she get to stay home and we have to go to church? And the mother answers, because one child bound for the fiery pit is enough. And she took her last sip of coffee. So it's just a tremendously fun and, again, satirical book. For my last book, we're traveling back to Georgia for A Good Hard Look by Ann Napolitano. And when I think of Milledgeville, Georgia, I think of one of the patron saints of Southern literature who spent the better part of her life in that town. I'm talking about Mary Flannery O'Connor. And indeed, Flannery and her mother Regina are prominent characters in A Good Hard Look. But again, this is a novel. This is kind of a fictionalized version of what her life and some of the other townspeople's lives are like in Milledgeville. The characters all have different narratives and different things going on. One of the backdrops in Milledgeville is the state hospital where the mentally ill were there. So all of this plays a role. It's small town Georgia. And we get a little bit of an imagining of what life was like for Flannery when she has this fictional relationship with a man named Melvin who's married and has a little girl. And Flannery, who is crippled, starts taking her out in his car and giving her driving lessons. And Regina does not approve of this relationship, even though it's platonic. So we're always thinking about Flannery and what her life as a writer was like, but this is an imagining of what Flannery O'Connor's life as a person living in that town with her mother and dealing with an illness that would cripple her and eventually take her life, what that was like. And then we have all of this intrigue with the people in the town who are just dealing with the life of being in a small town in the South.
That was Allison Law. She's host of a Literary Atlanta podcast. Now, if you have any suggestions for our Southern reading list, let us know in our Facebook group.